Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation and the gospel lesson for today is written in Matthew 28, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some hesitated because they were uncertain. Jesus approached and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and gather disciples from all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep all the instructions I have given you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." These are the words of our text. Let us pray. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for gathering us and making us your disciples. We pray then that through the meditation upon your word, you would strengthen our faith. O Holy Spirit, come to us and increase our confidence that Jesus died and rose again for our salvation, and that because of him, you love us. We pray that you would also empower us so that we would reach out with your love for the world to those around us. Help us to share the amazing things that God did for us in Jesus our Savior. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, today is Trinity Sunday, as I told you at the time of the Creed, and I actually want you to open your bulletins now and look at the Athanasian Creed, turn back to the Athanasian Creed, and I especially want to draw your attention to the first statement that you read with me. You said, "We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the substance." Can you wrap your mind around what that really means? We worship three persons in one God and one God in three persons. Can your mind comprehend that aspect of God's nature? That he is three persons yet one God. Three distinct persons, so that the Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son. And yet, we can't divide the substance. They're one God. Some look at this teaching of the Trinity and they conclude that it's unreasonable. Their mind can't comprehend it. And so because they cannot reason through it, they conclude that it is untrue. The teaching of the Trinity is difficult because in the sense that it is beyond our comprehension, it is incomprehensible. Now, we actually need a God that is beyond our comprehension. So here would be an example. You go to the doctor, tells you got 3 weeks to live. So you go home and you're praying, pouring your heart out, "Lord, work a miracle, just give me 3 months." And God was in heaven thinking, well, I was going to cure you. But okay, because you can only conceive a God who could give you 3 months. That's all you get. No, we want to need a God, as Ephesians says, who can work imaginably more than all we ask. We want a God beyond our comprehension. Another example. We can have our minds so set that something would be a blessing for us. Maybe something needs to happen in our life, or we need to get our hands on something. And we'll pray, Lord, give me this thing, work it so I can get it. And yet God's up in heaven thinking, oh boy, that's not wise for you. But because I'm bound by your wisdom, here you go. No, we need a God who is wiser than anything we can conceive, because we need him to watch over us and guide our earthly lives. And the third attribute, and the one we'll focus on today, is we need a God with incomprehensible love. Someone that can love us beyond our imagination, beyond our expectations, beyond our reason. So today, on the basis of this text, let us consider the incomprehensible love of the triune God. Our country today is having a very difficult conversation about love and hatred. And it seems that the country is very divided over the issue of racism, systemic racism. Is it true? Isn't it true? I'm not going to wade into that today. But I do want to take this opportunity for us to really think about the world and the people around us. What is racism? Racism is either hatred or treating someone at a disadvantage because of the color of their skin or their ethnic background. Whether it's here or not, should we be surprised if it is? We live in a broken and a sinful world. And we are broken and sinful people. I don't know if you noticed when we read the Old Testament lesson, after every day's activity, God looked at what he had done or what he had made, and he said, it was good. I think God would agree with us when we look at the world around us and conclude, this isn't good. This isn't what it is supposed to be. And the reason for that is sin. God created a perfect world, but our first parents rebelled against him. And they broke the world. And they broke us. And the real reason that our world is so crummy is because of us. We are selfish. We put ourselves first. And we will tear others down and push them down, keep them get down, just to make sure that we get what we want. And so whether you agree with one side of the debate or the other, this problem is really about us and our sinful hearts. So what's the answer? How can we be changed? Well, we can be changed by the incomprehensible love of the triune God. How does God see the world today? Do you think he divides it into classes of people? Those who are more deserving of his love than others? I think Jesus' words here make it evident that that's not true. He told his disciples, go and gather disciples of all nations. Jesus didn't come to save an elect group of people on earth. He came to save all nations. Jesus doesn't love a select group of people on the earth. He loves all nations. And this universal love of God is made so evident throughout the scriptures. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who probably thought that the Jews were God's special people, that God loved them more than others, Jesus said to him, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Paul to the Corinthians said that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And then to Timothy, Paul said, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. God's incomprehensible love is for all people. Now, it's not incomprehensible because it is for all people. It's incomprehensible because it's for people. It's amazing that God the Creator, who made us perfect in his own image, and we rebelled against him. Yes, you can blame Adam and Eve, but look at your own life. Look at the rebellion that you yourself in your heart right now have towards your Creator. God sees that. And yet he chooses to love you. That's what pushes this love beyond us. Why would a holy God, a righteous God who punishes sin, why would he love people like you and me? This love that God has for all people is beyond what we can understand. Yet thank God that he is not limited to our reason and our ability to be able to perceive him and comprehend him. He is far above the heavens, or so far above the heavens, he's so far above us. And that is his love for us. So God loves all people. And he has redeemed all people in Jesus the Savior. God wants you, when you look at the people around you and the people in the world, he wants you to see them as he sees them, as someone that he valued so highly, someone that he loves so deeply, that he sent his Son to suffer and die for them. That's the value that we have. It's not determined by the color of skin or the group of people that we hang out with. It's determined by this incomprehensible love of God. And so he loves all nations. And he gathers disciples. Part of the debate in our country is how to change things for the better. And as a church, we can wrestle with this too. Jesus has given us this great commission to go into all nations and make disciples. And that can seem like an insurmountable problem to get over. But a little bit of a joke. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. When we look at this big problem, how do we go about overcoming it? One bite at a time. When we look at the world, all nations, and making disciples, how do we go about it? One person at a time. As we see the big picture, don't lose sight of the small. With this great commission to go and gather all disciples under the name of the triune God from all nations, that work is carried out with individuals. That work was carried out for you. God sent someone or people into your life to connect you with Him. For many of us here today, it was probably our parents that God placed them in our lives. It wasn't freak chance that put Christian parents in your life. That was God's plan. And He planned that they would bring you to the waters of baptism, where you were washed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God descended from heaven and granted you the Holy Spirit and created faith in Jesus in your heart, washing away your sins and making you His dear child. That was God in action in your life. One person at a time. But maybe you didn't have Christian parents. And yet here you are under the name of the triune God. No doubt God sent someone into your life, or many people, to share His word with you so that you could learn who He is and what He has done to save you. That was not chance. That was God gathering disciples one person at a time. And now you are His disciple. And He has placed you in people's lives. Yes, your children, your family, your neighborhood, your workplace, the grocery store. He has placed you there not by chance, but so that He can continue to gather disciples under His name. We as a church and as individuals have this great mission to go and share the love of Jesus. The same love that we treasure because we know that through His life and death, our sins are forgiven, is to be shared with those around us. And so we can change the world. One person at a time, with this incomprehensible love of our triune God. It doesn't matter who we meet. Jesus has died for them. Doesn't matter who we meet. We can tell them that their sins are paid for. And that because of Jesus, God loves them. And when their mind struggles with how that is possible, you can just keep pointing them to the love of God that forgives sinners like you and me. Beyond our reason, but deeply needed. So really take this to heart. There are times when we can mess up so badly that we struggle to forgive ourselves. We can make such bad, evil choices that we wonder how God can forgive a person like me. If he was limited to your reason, he wouldn't be able to. But his love is beyond our comprehension. So yes, he forgives sinners just like you. No matter what you have done, your guilt is taken away. Your sins are forgiven. And you are God's dearly loved child. So let us thank and praise God that he's not limited to our comprehension. He is far above us and loves us more than we can ever understand. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.